Today's gospel passage, Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Plains that he's been basically delivering these last three Sundays. If you remember, two Sundays ago, we heard kind of that Sermon on the Plains, you know, blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting now, for they shall be filled later on. Blessed are those who basically have the meekness and poverty of heart now, for they will enjoy the eternal things of heaven. And then, of course, last week, we got challenged around loving our enemies, doing good to those who hurt us, not judging, so that we might not be judged. And Jesus concludes these challenging words of the Sermon on the Plain today with this challenge of looking at our life and making sure the self-righteousness of our own spiritual pride, which we tend to as a people because of our sin, is not blocking out the very gospel message of life and love that he bestows on us as disciples, as sons and daughters of God baptized in his image and likeness as children of God. So Jesus today, particularly through the gospel, is challenging us in our hearts. Are our hearts truly upright, or are they self-righteous? Are they finding their worth in them, in ourselves instead of in Jesus? So Jesus, as he always does, usually challenges us through parables. We hear today that he starts out, Jesus told his disciples a parable, and he says, of course, can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? It's very interesting. Parables, the purpose of a parable, biblically, is really to challenge the hearer, especially the Jews who were hearing the parables. The parables that Jesus shared with them were designed to kind of wake them up from their maybe narrow point of view. Think about all the different parables that Jesus tells to the Jews. They're all designed to kind of make the people think about maybe a way in which they thought they were following Jesus and God, but they really aren't. A good example of that is, you know, maybe the parable of the Good Samaritan. For the Jews, the Levites and the priests were the holy people of God. What happens in the parable of the Good Samaritan? A man gets robbed, you know, he is thrown on the side of the road, left for dead, and then a Levite and a priest, the holy men of God and the Jewish people's point of view, show up to pass by. And they each have an excuse. You know, I'm going to be celebrating in, sacrificing in the temple today, so I can't stop and help this man. They each have an excuse that causes them to pass this man on the side of the road. But it's the Good Samaritan, the outcast, the foreigner who was typically rejected by the Jews, who stops and takes care of the man broken on the side of the road. If you were a Jew, think about that parable. You would start to question, okay, who am I really in this passage? Am I the priest? Am I the Levite? Am I the Samaritan? Who am I? Or maybe the parable of the prodigal son. You know, the son who goes away and squanders his inheritance, comes back and receives the forgiveness of the father. But then look, it's the older brother who still has a hardness of heart and is not willing to come into the house. So these parables are designed to awaken the Jewish heart to the reality of God's greater love, really the new commandment, which challenges maybe the ways in which their hearts were protected against growing in conversion of heart by their perceived view of how they were following the law, kind of this false piety that we tend to live in sometimes in our self-righteousness. Oh, I'm fine. I do a pretty good job. I come to Mass on Sunday. You know, I tithe. I do these things that the church asks, and so I'm fine. So Jesus really doesn't have anything for me. Well, Jesus today challenges us with these harsh words. You know, don't let the blind lead the blind. And look at your own life. Don't let the plank in your eye don't let the splinter in someone else's eye distract you from the true plank in your own eye. So the sense of looking at our own life today, trying to look at how Jesus is wanting to wake us up to the greater reality of fullness of life that he wants for us in his love. It's interesting, Matthew, the gospel writer Matthew, oftentimes uses these same words that Jesus uses today. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? Matthew, of course, addresses this in his gospel to the scribes and Pharisees. But Luke today applies that to the disciples through Jesus' words. So Luke just doesn't address just the false teachers, but all disciples. We who can be blinded by the fact that sometimes we're not accepting the full teaching of Jesus in our life. And only when we learn to receive the fullness of Christ's teaching in our life can we really teach anyone. you know, until we receive the gospel of life and let it touch every part of our life, we stand as a false witness of the gospel. We can't teach anyone else because we're blind. We can't lead the blind because we have yet to see Christ clearly and see the world clearly. So Jesus then goes on and says, no disciple is superior to the teacher. But when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? So Jesus is challenging us here, and he's saying, you know, don't fall into the tendency that we have sometimes to maybe view the sins of our life as just minute, you know? Oftentimes we can view the places we fall in our life as, okay, these are minute details, you know, I'm growing, but oh, look at this other person who's really failing in this area of their life. You know, I'll concentrate on that instead of really where the Lord's inviting me to look in my life and say, okay, this place of sin is really where the Lord's asking me to look. And he uses this exaggerated language today, you know, noticing the splinter in our brother's eye when we don't notice the beam in our own eye. Then he goes on to say, how can you say to your brother, let me remove that splinter from your eye when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite. Hypocrite. Hypocrite is an interesting word because the word in its original form actually refers to an actor, someone who's playing a part. A hypocrite is someone who's presenting to the world something that they're really not. And how often in our own life we tend to do that spiritually. We tend to present before God and before each other this nice whitewashed, pious image of who we are. And in doing so, we fail to allow Jesus to really work in the broken places of our life where we really need healing. It's a person really deceiving themselves in their own condition is a hypocrite, you know. I'm fine, I don't need Jesus. Just think about our world or how we tend to operate. You know, we tend oftentimes to hide our sin and our brokenness behind this sense of false piety. And we may even approach Jesus in the sacraments, you know, in this state of false piety, you know, with like a deadness of heart, showing a form of godliness while denying the healing power of Jesus' spirit in our life that only comes when we come before him and cry out and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you to transform my life. And so we see churches, we see families, we see our own life that maybe on the outside we look put together, but inside we're really dead. We're really stagnant. We're really not willing to confront those places where we've still got the plank in our eye. So what does this mean? And what is Jesus really challenging us about today? He's really saying we need to, as a people of God, constantly be in a spirit of self-reflection, a spirit of healthy self-criticism. We're actually going to be entering into a full season of that coming up on Wednesday, Lent, where we turn our attention to our own life and say, Lord Jesus, where am I still not giving my full heart to you? Where am I fully not conformed to your gospel of life, which desires all that I am? Where am I not willing to die to myself so that you might come alive in my life? Where am I not being vulnerable in those places where I really need help? Where am I not coming before you in the sacraments or even amongst my family or my parish community as someone who's in need of healing, not having all the answers and needing God's grace in my life? We do that particularly during the season of Lent through fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. These three things which help us to look at our life and turn it over to Jesus again and say, Jesus, I need you, okay? I need your prayer, your relationship in my life to know who I am, to know that in the midst of my sin, you've chosen me and redeemed me, and so I have confidence and hope in your love for me. I fast, I deny myself physically to point my mind and my heart to the things that will endure, your love and your mercy for me and for the world. I give of my material possessions, these things which will pass away in the world, by giving alms so that others who are really in need might receive sustenance and life. All these things which help us to look at our life, pull out the plank so that we can be a true witness of the gospel and allow Jesus' life to work within us. Finally, Jesus uses this kind of beautiful way of wrapping up this point about self-righteousness. He talks about the tree that and its fruit. Good tree doesn't bear bad fruit. A bad fruit doesn't create good fruit. And by fruit in our life, we will know if we're truly following Christ. It's interesting. to distinguish a tree, whether it's good or bad, Jesus is saying we have to look at the fruit and not the foliage of the tree, so not the leaves. It's interesting. There's no lack of people in the world, and if we were honest with ourselves, that a lot of times in our life, we present ourselves to the world with this nice foliage. We're focused on, once again, presenting this kind of image of false piety. You know, I've got it all together. You know, my leaves are green, everything's working. And we maybe use all of our effort trying to keep the trees green, and in doing so, we don't really allow God to work in our life to use his grace to produce fruit. So we present ourselves to the world as this nice green tree, but really, a tree which gives no life, which has no fruit. Think of like those artificial, you know, trees that you maybe see, you know, at like restaurants and stuff. You know, it's the plasticky trees, you know, it looks nice, but when you get up close, it's not alive. It's just kind of stagnant. It looks nice, but is it really of any use besides maybe just a passing glance? You know, the world is yearning for that fruit of life. People are hungering for the gospel of life in our world. You know, they want fruit that they can feast on to know that Jesus is real and that his love is real, his mercy is real. And if all we have to offer to the world, people in our family, the people in our church community, the people here in church, if all we have is these nice artificial tree branches and leaves, those people are going to go hungry. You know, we have to allow Jesus to work in our life to produce that fruit that comes from a place of relying on him in humility of heart and knowing that we need to grow in his mercy, handing over our life to him so that we can bear that fruit which breathes the gospel of life in the world. So we ask for that grace today to come alive in the truth of who we are as children of God, to deny ourselves so that Jesus can come alive in our life, and especially as we begin this season of Lent, to hand over our life to him so that he could build fruits of heavenly grace in our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.